Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 29th day of June 2019. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and quite frankly, there's only one way to start off the show tonight. And that's with one of the most important, even if still neglected, stories in a very long time. Which is why it's been largely ignored by the waste stream and outright banned by the socialist media Big Brother public-private partnership cartel. But I'm going to work up to it this way. Let's talk first about a whole bunch of stuff that we've heard before. We're hearing it again, well, unless we get our news from the waste stream, for the most part. So here we go. NSA has again been exposed, who could have thought it, for unauthorized collection of American phone records. And gee, once upon a time we'd have said that was what the Fourth Amendment was for, but that was before they trashed the whole stinking Bill of Rights. Yet again, says the Zero Hedge summary, the NSA, no such agency? Well, they've admitted it. Now they do exist. The National Security, SIC, agency has been exposed for accidentally over-collecting call record metadata of millions of Americans. This according to a Wall Street Journal report relying on documents obtained by, of all things, the ACLU. They've done it before, they're keeping on doing it, and yeah, they've been caught doing it again. Here's the interesting line in this piece. The House Judiciary Committee, oh, that would be the House, and not particularly interested in anything judiciary, but they've now started weighing which of the expiring provisions of the utterly unconstitutional Patriot Act are still going to be renewed anyway. And according to several so-called lawmakers, the phone surveillance program likely won't be reauthorized. And I got to ask, what difference does that make, since it's already prohibited by law anyway? Well, said Senator Ron Wyden, longtime critic of the program, one of the few who actually seems to understand what a warrant really is, or once was anyway, quote, every new incident like this that becomes public, yeah, most of them don't, is another reason this massive surveillance program needs to be permanently scrapped, he said. So far, so good. But, he continued, it is unacceptable that basic information about the program is still being withheld from the public, unquote. And yeah, it's also unacceptable that the Fourth Amendment is a dead letter. So what's new here? Yeah, we've heard it before. We're going to keep on hearing it. And the news is, they got caught. Again, item number two, more revised data from the liars at NASA and NOAA. The piece from RealClimateScience.com, the deplorable climate science blog, calls it yet another round of spectacular data tampering. What they do, folks, is they go back and review and modify the data series, cooling the past and warming the present to make it look like there's more man-made global warming than there ever really was. And they do a great job of showing in chart after chart, like the NASA GISS Global Land Service Temperature Anomaly, how the past just keeps getting cooler, although it hasn't really changed, come to think of it, and the present just keeps getting warmer, and the amount of both keeps growing as well each time they modify the data series. Gee, folks, almost like somebody has an agenda. The author does yeoman's work collecting historical data and lots of headlines from the last century about how the world is getting cooler and showing that prior to the 1990s anyway, when the IPCC, the International Politically Correct Climate Priesthood, decided to make global carbon taxes their control and revenue source for the future, the same actual original data didn't support the hysteria. Concludes the author, Tony Heller, this data tampering was necessary for propaganda purposes, who could have thought it, and serves as the basis for the ongoing attempt to destroy our existing energy infrastructure. And he notes that experts claim that all warming over the past 140 years is due to humans, which is largely true, though, because the vast majority of it is due to data tampering by humans. That's not the news, of course. The news is, again, they've been caught. And for the most part, again, the waste stream will ignore it. Item number three, and I hope you're sitting down for this one. Merrill Lynch, the banksters there, have been caught criminally manipulating precious metals market prices, quote, thousands of times over a 6-year period, Remember, says the Zero Hedge summary, when it was pure tinfoil hat conspiracy theory to accuse one or more of the big banksters of aggressively, compulsively, and systematically manipulating the precious metals, i.e. gold and silver, paper markets? Well, we do. We've made the claim over and over while demonstrating clearly just how said manipulation was taking place, often in real time. Well, they say it's good to be proven correct, again, even if it's years after the fact. On Tuesday, after the market closed, the CFTC announced that Merrill Lynch Commodities, a global commodities trading business, has agreed to pay the staggering sum of $25 million, yep, no afternoon drinks today, to resolve the government's investigation, sick, into a multi-year scheme by MLCI Precious Metals Traders, sick, to mislead the market for precious metals futures contracts traded on the Crimex Comex Crooked Casino. And too bad they note that we're talking about a corporation here rather than an individual, because that person would have done the old perp walk. But as MLCI themselves admitted, beginning in 2008 and continuing through, I'm going to say at least 2014, but that's as far as they looked, precious metals traders employed by MLCI schemed to deceive other market participants by injecting materially false and misleading information into the precious metals futures market. Doing things like placing fraudulent orders for precious metals futures contracts that at the same time they place the orders they already intended to cancel before they could be executed. And of course, they note, since we're talking about banksters, and since banks are in charge of not only the Department of Justice and virtually every other branch of the deep state Big Brother government, not to mention the Federal Reserve, nobody will go to jail, and MLCI entered into a non-prosecution agreement and agreed to pay a combined and utterly measly fine of $25 million in criminal fines, restitution, and forfeiture of trading profits. Well, at least a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of some of them. What's the news here? Well, they got caught again, and they got away with it again. And so yet again, folks, we've heard it before, or at least we should have. They've been caught, and the common thread here is not to fix the problem by doing things like reporting with integrity and obeying the actual law. It's to double down, lie even more, and make sure that nobody even gets to talk about when they get caught. Which brings me to the really big story of the day, and arguably, in this context now, the decade. Concerning the world's most powerful company, and without question, although it's a tough choice, they have risen to the top. Most evil corporation on planet Earth, Google, or as I prefer to call it, and we're going to see again why, Gulag. And here I'm going to refer to one of the most important video reports, folks, that you'll ever see. So look at it while you can, because guess what? YouTube, owned by Google, is trying to make sure you're not going to be allowed to see it. Yeah, they've already scrubbed it off of that platform. Gee, there's a shocker. And no doubt Google's already manipulating their AI search algorithms, too, to deep six it that way. So use a real search tool, like startpage.com or DuckDuckGo, to find it instead. Oh, and let's make this clear. I'll come back to it in a second. You're not likely to hear about this on the waste stream at all. I'm referring, of course, to Project Veritas, James O'Keefe's organization, and if there's anybody that ever deserved a Pulitzer Prize outside of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, it's his organization. And this latest utter bombshell, or it ought to be, is an approximately 25-minute video from Project Veritas under the Be Brave, Do Something heading about how a Google insider is blowing the whistle, and they have hidden camera interviews with Google executives to buttress the point, to prevent a repeat of what they actually call the Trump situation in the next election cycle. And forget the Russians, folks, although most Americans already have, and so-called election rigging. Google is the master at it, and they've been working hard to make sure that by 2020, just like they succeeded in doing in the midterms in 2018, they're not going to let happen again what the deplorables managed to do by force of numbers in 2016. Here's one of many quotes from Jen Janai, head of, quote, responsible innovation. Yeah, sure, there's a misnomer for you, at Gulag, who said they've been, quote, working on it since 2016 to make sure we're ready for 2020. And what's it, folks? Yeah, they call it fairness, and that means, in fairness, you're not going to be allowed to hear anything they don't want you to hear, meaning they intend to rig subsequent elections fairly. By definition, it'll turn out the way they want it to. Here's the Google whistleblower, with his voice disguised, of course, describing Gulag's politically correct definition of the word.
Fairness is a dog whistle. It does not mean what you think that it means, and you have to apply doublethink in order to understand what they're really saying. And what they're really saying about fairness is that they have to manipulate their search results so that it gives them their political agenda that they want. And so they have to rebias their algorithms so that they can get their agenda across.
And their agenda is not only insidious, but it demonstrates pretty dramatically just how badly Sundar Pichai was lying when he testified before Congress and committed perjury over and over again. Jen Janai, that so-called head of responsible innovation, boy, I just can't stand reading that, at Gulag, put it this way, "We got called in front of Congress multiple times. Like, they can pressure us, but we're not changing." Unquote. And who are they kidding, folks? When it comes to free speech, Congress isn't pressuring Gulag in the slightest. Unless, as she seems to have been, you're referring to posturing. That same evil woman continued, quote, "Elizabeth Warren is saying that we should break up Google. And like, I love her, but she's very misguided. Like, that will not make it better. It will make it worse, because now all these smaller companies who don't have the same resources that we do will be charged with, are you listening closely, with preventing the next Trump situation. It's like a small company cannot do that." Unquote. Yeah, folks, you have to have a big enough, evil enough company to own Congress and rewrite the law in its own image. It's like we, like Gulag, need to program you like we do our AI manipulation algorithms. It's like you peons aren't going to be allowed to think or have any information until we decide what you think and what you're going to be allowed to see. Like, you know? Speaking of which, much of the increasingly banned alternative news parts of the web notes that it's not just Fox News, which, with the notable exception of Tucker Carlson, has been pretty much ignoring the Project Veritas Google bombshell report. Virtually the entire waystream corporate media, says Jamie White at the blacklisted InfoWars, has also blacklisted this story, even when it was red-linked on the Drudge Report and addressed by multiple members of Congress. The likewise blacklisted site Natural News via J.D. Hayes writes that the Russian collusion hoax is a classic example of what we're talking about. For 2 years, the Washington establishment media served as the Democrat Party's propaganda wing, parroting the lie that the president colluded with Moscow to steal the election from the woman who should have been king, Hitlery. And they also promoted the fantasy that special counsel Robert Mueller was always just a few weeks away from exposing our criminal president. But when real scandal happens, all we get from the lamestream losers, he notes, is silence, especially if the scandal involves big, far-left ideological soulmates like Gulag. The Project Veritas bombshell revelations this week about how Gulag has been working since 2016 to censor pro-Trump voices and content in order to prevent his re-election at all costs. And I would also suggest, folks, let's not forget the 2018 midterms. Well, that would have been front page, top of the fold news in the New York Times, the WAPO, USA Today, LA Times, and so forth and so on. All the big Democrat-aligned news websites and cable TV networks for weeks on end. If only that big tech behemoth was run by genuine conservatives who donate to Republicans instead of socialists. But since Gulag, like almost all of the rest of the Silicon Valley tech giants, are owned and operated by true Marxists and fascists, the allied so-called mainstream press has just ignored the allegations. That means that the same press that screamed collusion and obstruction for years on end is now colluding with Gulag to suppress what honest legal experts are calling real election meddling. Gee, folks, too bad we don't have a federal election commission to ferret out crimes like that. And here's one of the other comments that I haven't even quoted yet from Janai that would have been printed over and over again in the left-stream newspapers had this same statement been directed at a Democrat president. Quote, "We all got screwed over in 2016. Again, it wasn't just us. It was the people got screwed over. The news media got screwed over. Like, everybody got screwed over. So we're rapidly been like, what's happened here and how do we prevent it from happening again?" Unquote. And then she went on to admit, Get this, folks. We're also training our algorithms. Like, if 2016 happened again, would the outcome be different? Unquote. And if this evil corporation is allowed to continue doing what they've been doing, folks, you can damn well guarantee next time it will be. And as 2018 proved, yep, they got away with it then. Says Natural News, and again, they ought to know, all of this is shorthand for, we're training our AI algorithms to blot out anything that's Trump-friendly in the media or press because we don't want him or the like to ever win again. And yes, this is pure, unadulterated election fraud. And if we had a federal election commission, you'd think they'd be all over this like stink on, well, the San Francisco streets on an unprecedented scale. But the swamp won't drain itself, and swamp critters don't think it stinks there either. Which brings me next to another related comment that Fox's Tucker Carlson did bring out last night from an interview he did with Dr. Robert Epstein, the senior research psychologist at the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology, probably the world's foremost expert on the technology company's influence on society. Asked about the latest bombshell from Project Veritas about what Gulag is up to, he said,
I'm not surprised in the least. It confirms in glowing terms, or in very ugly terms, if you want to look at it that way, that Google not only has the power to shift opinions and votes on a massive scale, but that they exercise this power. And this is what I measure in my research. So I can tell you fairly precisely how many votes they can shift. I can tell you fairly precisely how many votes they shifted in 2018.
And at this point, a quick digression for some of the numbers. According to Statista, Google owns the global, not just the U.S. search market, and as of April, they commanded an 88.5% share of the entire search engine market, while the next closest, and also left-leaning engine Bing, clocked in at a mere 4.8%, while the distant third place, also left-leaning Yahoo, once the original online search engine, gets just over 3% of the total market. And that kind of tells you where StartPage and DuckDuckGo and the Honest engines are that actually keep your data private, too, way down the list. In a previous appearance with Tucker Carlson, Dr. Epstein had already revealed that Google can take a 50-50 split among undecided voters and change it rapidly into a 90-10 split, with no one knowing they'd been manipulated and without leaving a paper trail. And it all has to do with search suggestions and manipulating those algorithms. In the Project Veritas video, the whistleblower goes through the interview showing a number of examples, including what happens if you search for anything negative about Hitlery. Basically, whatever you ask for, you get primarily left-leaning results, if you get anything at all. And as for the specifics, doing the math, he said,
They can shift upwards of 15 million votes with no one knowing that they've been manipulated and without leaving a paper trail for authorities to trace.
And guess what, folks? If you can manipulate the actual vote totals, too, by getting into the machines and messing with the what should be integer math, but instead it's floating point, next time they'll even be able to cover up for a Trump-scale landslide. Besides which, if you do find out about it, how are you going to report it, and who's going to search for it? So let me say all of this again. Yes, we've heard it before. Gulag, to Facebook, and all the other socialist media giants are, in fact, far left-leaning, utterly without a conscience, and very much intent on running their own technocracy. And obviously, that includes shutting down any and all dissent. But it's one thing to hear folks like me and you and others who know what's going on talk about it, and a whole different thing to see those who are perpetrating it come right out and tell you, in their own Clintonian words, exactly what they're up to. You really owe it to yourself to see the video. And yes, if you can, download it and save it before it's completely deep-sixed off the web. Again, it's projectveritas.com. And it's on their page under Google Exposed, Insider Speaks Out, Documents Leaked. And the video is entitled Insider Blows Whistle and Execs Reveal Google Plan to Prevent Trump Situation in 2020 via their hidden cam. And by the way, the president did actually finally speak with Maria Bartiromo and tell her point blank they're, quote, trying to rig the election. And as he pointed out pretty graphically, what we're talking about here is not leaning left. This is actual, in his words, hatred for the Republicans. And he hopes that there'll be civil suits, hopefully among other things, to take these traitors to task. So I'll say it one more time. What's new here isn't the intent, it's the exposure, in spite of the cover-up, and the fact that there's no longer any denying that the war has already begun. Oh, and as we move on, one last headline, courtesy of the Gateway Pundit. Google execs panic, it says, and go into hiding. And after the latest James O'Keefe expose, many of them, including Jen Janai, have now deleted their socialist media accounts. But all of that was just the beginning. By the end of the week, Big Brother cartel member, the Vimeo video platform, had not only removed the revealing video, but banned Project Veritas completely and totally from that socialist platform. Can you still watch all kinds of disgusting and perverted stuff there? Of course. You're just not allowed to view anything they don't want people to know. And that even holds true for other things that might save your life or your children's as well. Gulag doubled down midweek by taking its politically correct censorship acts to additional natural health-oriented websites. You probably already knew not to try to Google anything about autism and vaccines, but they just keep up in the ante. Let's start first with the already largely banned natural news. Ethan Huff writes that Google has buried Mercola.com search results as well in an escalating attack on pretty much all independent health, nutrition, and vaccine information. And by eliminating the wildly popular source of science-based news and information, Mercola.com, the big tech deep state has now targeted pretty much an entire industry for elimination. Similar, they note, to what Two Facebook recently did to Natural News, Google has taken it upon itself to punish Mercola.com, and as we're going to see in a second, others. And in the process of implementing another one of what they call their broad core search engine updates, they've arbitrarily decided to remove Mercola.com from search results. For no other reason, says Huff, than the fact that Mercola.com bravely tells the politically incorrect truth about things like genetically modified organisms, aka GMOs, and of course, vaccines. Und that ist verboten, it would seem. Prior to these latest so-called updates, Mercola was among the top search results for topics like type 2 diabetes and heart disease, offering searchers articles they actually wanted to read. But now, with their elimination, it's the much-manipulated Wikipedia and other fake news pages that have taken their place, just like what's happening, says Ethan Huff, on YouTube, to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and many other tech platforms. And here's the difference, folks, as the article points out. Back in the days before the massive and escalating censorship, search results on Google, that was before it really truly became Gulag, were populated based on what users actually wanted to read, which is why Mercola.com consistently ranked near the top of all sorts of topics, ranging from nutrition to exercise to natural healing. But now that this crowdsourcing format has been replaced by, well, the public-private fascism of the big tech giants, the only way to access Mercola.com through Gulag is to actually type in the website, Mercola.com, along with your desired topic. And note that since Gulag's parent company owns the Android operating system used on a huge number of cell phones in the United States, that's pretty much the only choice you're going to have. Google, explained Mercola itself, is now manually lowering the ranking of undesirable content, largely based on Wikipedia's assessment of the author or site. And consequently, they noted, Gulag-based traffic to Mercola.com has, quote, plummeted by about 99% over just the past few weeks, unquote. Said Mercola, and this may get him banned from the other socialist media platforms as well, quote, when our voices are censored, humanity loses and fascism wins. And they added that Google begins by, quote, giving you everything you want, so it can now take everything you have. And they weren't even done with that. Google has become the ultimate puppet master, the site continued, infecting people and manipulating them without even knowing it. Their true goal is to be in complete control of all of us, directing our behavior. And should we rebel, they've also partnered with the military to create drones utilizing artificial intelligence to ensure, I'm quoting, I'll put it this way, resistance is futile. Which is a good place to take a break. We'll pick it up there when we get back. Stand up and be kind and come and sound the alarm. Aren't you one of God's children? But nothing.
nothing but the devil's pound. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on?
Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening. I'm your host, Mark Call. And while I've been talking about the increasing, the undeniable levels of incredible and tyrannical censorship for literally years now, and how the gloves have been off for quite a while, this was the week where it should have resonated with just about everybody who hasn't yet been paying attention. That is, if they managed to see it. I'm talking about James O'Keefe's amazing video from Project Veritas exposing just some of the perfidy at one of the world's most truly evil corporations, Gulag, a.k.a. Google. And I'll say it again, if you haven't seen it, folks, you can't even begin to understand just how incredibly revealing it is without watching it, as opposed to hearing anything about it secondhand. It's why the same people, for example, don't really want you to hear about abortions, but they'll pull out all the stops to make sure you never actually see one. But when it comes to the level of what we're talking about here, and I will use the word sedition in this case because Google is guilty as hell of that, I saw a great piece by Mike Adams that pretty well summarizes it, and no, if anything, he even still understates the case. Mike puts it this way, as we witness the shocking depths of criminality and evil being carried out by, he spells it wrong though, Gulag and its censorship agenda, it's crucial to remember that every Google employee is complicit in carrying out these crimes against humanity. These people are not just following orders like the East German soldiers manning the Berlin Wall. They're actively complicit in Gulag's massive criminal schemes to interfere in U.S. elections that make the Russians, anything and everything that they've ever been alleged, folks, still look like pikers, and silence many of the most important independent voices and journalists of our time. Gulag's employees actively participate in the schemes, promoting them, engineering them, and advocating for them. When caught on camera speaking their truth in what they believe to be private conversations, they brag casually about how they're controlling people's minds and altering elections through devious interventions in search results and search selections. These people are, in fact, fascists through and through. And it's their philosophy to suppress others so that their own malicious agendas may be fulfilled by any means necessary. And the trouble, says Mike Adams, is that these Gulag employees simply cannot stand back and say, we didn't know what we were doing. They know blankety-blank and well what they're doing, and they knowingly pursue their stated goal of destroying human knowledge, silencing independent speech, and altering election outcomes to fit their own twisted political persuasions. More often than not, rooted in self-delusion and self-aggrandizement. And he says Google employees are actively participating in Gulag's massive criminal enterprise, just like the prison guards at you-know-where. And in other words, they don't apologize for it. They brag about it. They knowingly pursue, literally, yes, fascist policies of speech suppression, online book burning, and the destruction of human knowledge. That's who they are. They'll do anything to stay in power and suppress anyone who attempts to get in their way and expose their evil crimes against humanity. And now, he says, I can realize why and how it is that the German people tolerated the Holocaust. And don't kid yourself, folks. This is worse than the things that led up to that, because Hitler didn't even dream about the kind of political and psychological, sociological, economic control that one of the world's biggest and most evil companies now wields. I cannot overemphasize just how serious what we are seeing really truly is. And yes, we've known about it, talked about it for quite some time, but we're at a whole different level now to actually see it and have the proof. And Mike Adams concludes his essay by making a really important point. Jin Janai is not just a twisted, devious, psychopathic member of a cartel of online ethnic cleansing advocates who can obviously justify absolutely anything as long as they're the ones who stay in power. She's merely an example of the horrors of elitism and arrogance that Google nurtures into tomorrow's online fascists. Now, this is a key point, folks, and it goes to his issue of exactly how it is that we're now preparing for another Holocaust. Says Adams, she, Jen Janai, is not just an anomaly. She's a product of Google's philosophy of evil criminality, collusion, and destruction. In other words, the ends justify the means. And have we ever seen that at play before? If we don't stop Gulag and all the other big tech cartel public-private partner giants now, they'll expand their power far beyond that of what the Third Reich was able to accomplish, and they'll abuse and exploit that power to crush humanity and enslave every human mind that interacts with the Internet. Oh, and the Bible tells us there'll be some other aspects of what they'll pull, too. Google's deliberate destruction of knowledge and decimation of human dignity also puts Hitler's book burnings to shame in terms of the sheer volume of knowledge being obliterated. And that's a true and excellent point. Google, he writes, is a threat to all humanity and a clear and present danger to, well, what's left, folks, of our once constitutional republics. This evil must be stopped, period. Now, here's where I want to comment for a couple minutes. As a small L libertarian and one who has a good understanding of constitutional and scriptural principles, yes, I know the arguments about a private business, and on the other hand, issues of licensure. And, of course, I've talked before about how some businesses are more private than others. Gulag, to Facebook, Twitter, and the like can censor the living hell out of your religion, your political views, your ability to think, communicate, or even have access to information. While other so-called private businesses that turn out to be nothing but really slaves, after all, can be forced to take wedding photographs and bake cakes for things that their God says are an abomination. But when Gulag and Two Facebook are finished, you won't even have to worry about hearing about those anymore. There has, of course, been discussion about the so-called Communications Decency Act. What a misnomer in this context, eh? And Section 230. And how if they're claiming to be the public square on the one hand, but have the right to censor you on the other hand, somebody's lying to somebody, and just why in hell do they deserve Big Brother's protection from liability for the evil that they're doing, while others don't? Quite frankly, folks, I care more about whether they're committing sedition than publishing. Which leads me to a suggestion I literally haven't heard before, but I think we'd better think about it seriously before it's too late, especially given that Congress hasn't actually declared war on another country since December of 1941, although we've had lots and lots of wars in the interim. And yes, isn't it ironic that while we have invaders from without coming across the southern border literally by the hundreds of thousands, carrying diseases, child sex slaves, and who knows what else, and no doubt about it, lots and lots of invasion from within. The only thing these same seditious tyrants are truly lobbying for is war against Iran. And, of course, World War III to follow. So let's try a quick thought experiment. Imagine if, say, in the late 1930s, the Japanese and German governments managed to take over most of the U.S. publishing industry, just radios and newspapers, not much even in the way of TV back then, and, of course, its educational system. In other words, if Hirohito and Hitler had had Gulag and Two Facebook, we'd have had the New World Order about 80 years sooner. So here's my suggestion. Think about this one. Especially given that most countries today are really corporate entities anyway. And come to think of it, without worrying about the Constitution, we've already declared war on just about everything and anything, from poverty to terror to pot. Can President Trump ask the United States Congress to declare war on what we might call the Axis powers of big tech, starting perhaps with Gulag, to Facebook, and Twitter? Now, I realize that most Americans, and even far more of much of Congress, could care less about the Constitution, but honestly, that avoids a whole bunch of sticky constitutional issues. Forget Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan. If there's any power on earth, folks, that really, truly is a clear and present danger and deserves to have war declared against it, it's the Axis of big tech. Now, some of you may be thinking, that includes communist China, no doubt, and I won't necessarily argue that point. Gulag, Apple, Facebook, and others no doubt have a lot more loyalty to their communist Chinese Big Brother buddies than they do even the ones in the D.C. swamp. Just remember, though, that in World War II, the U.S. didn't declare war on Italy until a few days later. And on a bunch of smaller fry, the European versions of the Vimeos and Twitters, weeks later than that. So let me say this as clearly as I possibly can. The United States is at war. And the big tech cartel, the axis of evil there, intends to destroy everything that this nation once was. And their forces have clearly been mobilized for quite a while. This is a battle that if we don't fight, we've already lost. And from that serious note, it's honestly a bit hard to move on. Because one way or another, that affects literally everything else. But this may be a good story, or three, to start in that direction. I didn't talk about it here, for obvious reasons, but you may have seen the photos of the photogenic, and that seems to be all she's got going for, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, that went viral on the socialist media platforms, where she cried outside of a fence in a migrant tent city in Tornillo, Texas. Oh, and she also compared immigration centers to Hitler's death camps, too. Representative Sharia of Minnesota stand didn't see why that was a problem. The already banned Paul Joseph Watson pointed out at the time that the occasional Cortex attended the star-studded protest wearing a pristine white outfit, bright red lipstick, and of course a $600 watch, demonstrating her empathy for the little people. But now the rest of the story is out. And no, folks, it probably won't last long because it's exactly the kind of thing that Gulag to Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube want to nip in the bud. Here we go. The original photos show an emotional AOC holding her face and appearing to cry, and her attention appears to be riveted towards whatever it is that's on the other side of that fence. Must be awful, right? It reduced her to tears, in spite of the fact that she might run her makeup. But other photos from a different angle, now released, show what it is that she was so upset about. On the other side of the fence was nothing but a car, a couple of officers, and a parking lot. So yes, folks, the propaganda and the elements of deception that we're now seeing, at least for a while, are serious, and we are truly at war. But sometimes laughter is a pretty potent weapon, too. So this inclines your host to say, hey, do you remember back in the good old days when there were stereotypical dumb blondes played by the likes of Goldie Hawn and Suzanne Summers? Let's be honest, I have to admit, I think they were both a lot smarter than the occasional Cortex. But still, whereas once the dumb blonde was featured on comedy shows, and now it's only politically correct to laugh outright at white male fathers, it is more than a bit sad that instead of laughing at stupid people on comedy shows, we put them in Congress. Here's a long story I don't have time to do in the detail it perhaps deserves, but it certainly fits in the context of this week's important news, because it's about a stunning expose, according to Zero Hedge, that offers new details about the communist Chinese infiltration of 8 tech giants. Over the past year it begins, Western media organizations have published a non-stop stream of reports about Operation Cloudhopper, the Chinese government's clandestine program to spy on and siphon economic secrets from some of the world's largest tech companies. And yeah, it says, we've shared some of the details of the program before. The Chinese Ministry of State Security has worked with a shadowy group of hackers called the Advanced Persistent Threat 10 to infiltrate American and European enterprise tech firms using a very consistent MO. Hackers would infiltrate the cloud computing networks of managed service providers and then hop from network to network, gaining entree to the networks of these firms' clients. And back in December, the U.S. named some of the hackers suspected of working with APT-10 and was backed up by Germany, New Zealand, Canada, Britain, Australia, and other so-called allies, all of whom issued statements. And notably, the Chinese cyber espionage campaign continued even after Beijing and the Obama regime agreed and signed a pact to cease all cyber espionage activities. And since the Chinese seem to have a lot in common with the Obama regime, it's obvious what their word is worth. But as devastating as all these attacks have been, says the story, the details have been kept under wraps. Gee, there's a shocker, folks, especially since it might impact cloud marketing. But beyond that, it would seem corporate victims have pushed to keep not your privacy, but their privacy protected. But now, for the first time since the U.S. indicted, two of the suspected APT member hackers, a sweeping Reuters investigation has laid out previously unreported details of the attacks, including impacts on 6 additional firms, aside from IBM and Hewlett-Packard Enterprises, which had been previously reported. And among the incredible things in the report is just how long most of these tech giants went, in some cases years, before they even realized they'd been hacked. And what's worse, Throughout the investigation, the Chinese hackers showed their American peers just how woefully ill-equipped they really were. Not only did the hackers stay one step ahead of the investigators tracking them, but they even littered their code with expletives and taunts. And remember, folks, this was software embedded into the victims' cloud networks. For example, one hacking tool contained the message, "F*** NEAV," referencing their victims' reliance on antivirus software. And the name of a malicious domain used in the wider campaign even appeared to mock the U.S. masterful and, of course, unconstitutional No Such Agency, with a reference to, quote, nsa.mefound.com. Through the breaches, say the reports, the Chinese gained entree to the American defense industry, including Huntington Ingalls, a company that builds nuclear-powered submarines. Gee, makes you wonder if any of them have collided with freighters lately. And perhaps more to the point, folks, it emphasizes one more time why your host has been so particularly concerned about problems like grid failures and things that look downright inevitable if you realize war is coming on so many fronts, and the U.S. has literally, for a long, long time at least, opened its operating systems, cell phone systems, power grid systems, communication systems, and yeah, even its private email servers too, via backdoors, and even worse, to treason from within and without. And the Zero Hedge summary closes on an interesting note as well. In what's become a pattern, it says, for reports about Chinese cyber espionage, the Reuters expose was published as President Trump prepares to depart for Osaka for the G20 summit, where he's scheduled to meet with, among others, President Xi. Under Trump, the DOJ has stepped up its efforts to punish China and individual spies for their cyber espionage activity. But whether Trump stands his ground on cyber espionage is only one factor here. Because even if Beijing grants the usual assurances that it will stop, how can any of us be sure that it's not simply paying lip service, or worse, like it did under the Obama regime? And for that matter, folks, how do we even know that the same spies, hackers, and traitors who allowed or aided and abetted getting that stuff put in the first place, since it went for years before being detected anyway, how do we know it's all been discovered? And how do we know that the same traitors, certainly within the administration, for example, aren't continuing to do the very same stuff on any number of levels? After all, the borders are still open, too. Next, I want to look at a few of the stories that the Ministry of Truth intends to censor once they completely get their hands around your neck, via maybe a bit of contrast, good news and bad news. Let's start with this one from the Gateway Pundit about four ISIS terrorists on their way from Iraq to the open southern border of the United States who were actually arrested in Nicaragua, of all places, on their way to the U.S. southern border. According to La Prensa, the Nicaraguan army arrested the four alleged terrorists, two from Egypt, two from Iraq, all belonging to Islamic State, and three of them corresponded to suspects that Costa Rica had reported being in Nicaragua after passing through Costa Rican immigration controls. So, for the good news, they got caught by the Nicaraguan army, who seems to be doing far more to protect America than the far-left Democrats running Congress. More good news, even if it sounds tongue-in-cheek, they hadn't yet been able to pick up their child sex slaves who would have given them their free pass across the border, masquerading as family, once they were picked up here, while at least some of the bad news should be obvious. If the Nicaraguan army caught four, how many others didn't get caught amongst the literally thousands slipping unmolested across the border, day by day? This one clearly slips into the bad news category, but it's a head-scratcher as well. An advanced U.S. Navy combat ship slated to be commissioned, if it makes it that far, as the USS Billings collided with a berthed freighter in Montreal on Monday, according to Freight Waves via Zero Hedge. Both ships were damaged as a result. No crew was injured. The U.S. Freedom class, literal combat ship, hit the freighter about 2 p.m. on Monday, according to Lieutenant Commander Courtney Hilson, Navy spokesperson, and sustained damage below the waterline as a result. The $362 million naval vessel was launched in 2017 and is billed as, quote, a high-tech, cost-effective surface warfare vessel suited for modern defense needs, unquote, unless perhaps the enemy hits it with a freighter. Here's the head-scratcher. How many unexplained Navy collisions have we seen over the last couple of years? All too often, it would seem, with freighters. Well, not to worry, it says. The U.S. Navy is investigating. One more quick bad news story to set the scene today. and it's one you're probably not going to hear much about on the Waystream. In Mali, the Religion of Peace, says Robert Spencer for Jihad Watch, has murdered another 95 Christians, and the world yawns and turns away. A survivor of the attacks told AFP News that on Sunday evening, June 9th, about 50 heavily armed men arrived on motorbikes and pickups, later identified as Fulani Muslim militants, who, quote, first surrounded the village and then attacked. Anyone who tried to escape was killed. No one was spared, he said, not women, children, or elderly people. And according to a government statement, the attackers also killed animals and burned down houses. And a security source at the site of the massacre later reported a Dogon village has been virtually wiped out. Moving on now to other really important news that the Waystream not only doesn't want to talk about, but they want to make sure you aren't allowed to hear about. And the hits just keep on coming. Let's talk Big Brother Britain next, folks, from the Glastonbury Festival, where the guinea pigs there are walking into what's being called an EMF minefield by Annie Du Levaux at Global Research. In a story about the UK government's 5G Rural First program, producing dangerously high levels of electromagnetic field radiation in southern England. Unless you think that Big Brother is content with only destroying people's brains and health in urban and suburban areas with the 5G menace, think again. This weekend, she writes, a group of us drove around the side of the Glastonbury Festival in Pilton, Somerset, UK. We had an EMF, or electromagnetic field radiation detector, that was continually bleeping alarmingly and flashing red, indicating that the EMFs that was detecting were way, way above World Health Organization, sick, recommended safety levels. She goes on in some detail as to where they were getting what, and then notes that a while back she'd attended a meeting of Pilton's Parish Council, where it was standing room only as the residents packed in to express their dismay about a huge telecommunications mast that had been erected, without any consultation with them, of course, in the children's skateboard park. Engineers had informed one of them that it was going to be made 5G ready by the end of May, in time for the upcoming music festival. And now, she says, we're beginning to receive reports from inside the site of dangerously high levels of EMFs. On-site workers have been reporting bad headaches, nosebleeds, and digestive issues, and all of this is even before the bulk of campers arrive Wednesday this week. So one can only assume that matters will get far worse once hundreds of thousands of smartphones turn up. And all of this, she says, the 5G technology installed at the Glastonbury Festival this year was part of a UK governmental agenda called Rural First. Allegedly to give poor rural folks the opportunity to have better access, just like their urbanized betters, to the now heavily censored internet. And it means, in reality, good folks have paid £250 per ticket to be used as guinea pigs in a 1.4-square-mile test bed that just might result in serious implications to their health. From the usual things that we've come to expect, like increased cancer risk, cellular stress, harmful free radicals, genetic damages, reproductive system damages, learning, memory, and neurological disorders, and even less scary things like generally crappy health and maybe a sensation of being burned alive, the Brits seem to have come up with a way to make sure that no matter where people try to escape, they won't get away from what's coming. Yep, folks, gotta love that public-private partnership, or else. And Big Brother loves you, too. Oh, and I almost forgot. Believe me, folks, I tried. This was the week of the two-night clown circus, where some of the most criminally evil people in the entire left got together and decided which one of them most wants to be the next tyrant-in-chief. I saw several decent summaries of what turned out to be a commie fest. Even NBC came out and admitted that it was President Donald Trump who was the big winner of the first 2020 Democrat debate. You can imagine some of the other usual quips as well, like the circular firing squad thing or the fact that they all tried to move so far left, 9 out of 10 of them fell off the stage. The New York Post had a great cover photo showing the assembled leftists all raising their hands when asked, were they in favor of free health care for illegal immigrants? That ought to bring a few more 100,000 to the southern border. But they put a clever caption under it instead. Who wants to lose the election? Wait a minute, that's where Gulag comes in. Still, though, more than a few people managed to notice what's been called the striking visual that says it all about what the new left Democrat platform is really all about. Not a single American flag appeared anywhere on or near the stage. Which inclines your host to ask yet another question in this day of propaganda, media manipulation, and of course, rewriting history. How long will it be until YouTube and Gulag and some of the other socialist big tech platforms fix that and edit a couple of those flags right into the background? Then they'll probably call all of us who pointed it out conspiracy theorists and muzzle our response.